You are listening to the KHNS Local News. I'm Katie Hicks. An industry-sponsored study shows municipal water supplies in cruise ship ports may contain levels of copper, zinc, and nickel that are higher than ships are allowed to discharge in Alaska waters. The state's Cruise Ship Wastewater Science Advisory Panel took the issue up at its third meeting Thursday in Juneau. The industry asserts that mineral concentrations in city water supplies should be taken into account when ships apply for wastewater discharge permits. But David Wetzel, president of Admiralty Environmental, which conducted the study during the 2008 cruise season, admit it's more of a snapshot than a comprehensive look at municipal water supplies.
We can definitively say that we went out to so-and-so port 11 a.m. on August 24th. This was the concentration of metals that were coming out of that particular bunker port. And I think the data suggests some general trends in metals levels in these specific port locations. I think it's best used to observe to observe overall potential metals levels and define the focus for maybe some further investigations.
The advisory panel struggled to decide what those further investigations should be, ultimately tabling the item until Friday. The group agreed mineral levels in city water supplies should be addressed in its final report to the legislature, but not how detailed to be. Panel member Michelle Ridgway, who represents environmental organizations, suggests gathering data on metal levels after water is treated at city wastewater plants, then again when the water reaches the docks where it's pumped aboard ships. She also suggested asking cities to do an inventory of the pipes the water flows through on its way to the ships.
We're asking the same thing on the ships. I don't think it's excessive to request that of the cities that are bunkering water to say, what are your pipes? And we're concerned about potential metals in the water getting to the ships.
Ridgway was appointed to the panel after the Parnell administration removed Gershon Cohen from the environmental seat at the request of the cruise industry. Cohen wrote the discharges limits the panel is now discussing as part of the 2006 cruise ship head tax initiative passed by voters. Also on the agenda Thursday was a discussion of naval architecture. So panel members have an idea of how cruise ships are designed and built. Today's agenda includes discussion of the outline for the panel's report to lawmakers. A preliminary report is due on or before January 1st, 2013. The panel is meeting at Centennial Hall. October is Energy Awareness Month in the state of Alaska. The high cost of energy in this region challenges our businesses, our community institutions, and our families. This will be the first Energy Awareness Month in the state of Alaska. This year, our legislature passed a new policy for the state of Alaska, which includes a goal of 15% electrical energy reduction by 2020. The simplest solution is to reduce our consumption of electricity. It's the little things that we can do every day that will add up to significant savings. The Alaska Energy Authority, Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and the Statewide Energy Efficiency and Conservation Working Group have announced that October would officially be Alaska Energy Awareness Month, and that was then backed by Governor Parnell. Reaching this 15% electrical reduction goal will take the support and help of all Alaskans. Gary Lindholm is the current chair of the Haines Energy Sustainability Commission. He says Haines has a role in energy conservation.
And our role in Haines has been to aid the borough government in creating energy awareness, looking at alternative fuels, trying to promote energy conservation.
Some very simple things individuals and families can do to cut back on energy costs include keeping lights off when you are not using them, insulating your hot water heater, close your fireplace dampeners when you don't have a fire to prevent warm air from escaping unnecessarily. Replace standard incandescent light bulbs with compact fluorescent bulbs to save energy use by about 75%. And unplug electronics when not in use. Although October is the official Energy Awareness Month, energy conservation deserves attention all year round if Alaska is to reach its goal.
And one thing I think is neat about having Energy Awareness Month at this time of year for us is that it complements what we do in the spring. The last 2 years in the spring, we have sponsored, along with the Friends of Recycling, an energy fair. in Haines, which basically has the same objectives as the more statewide Energy Awareness Month. So that we have something now in the spring and in the fall. I think that's good.
Reporting for KHNS, this is Katie Hicks. Memorial services are scheduled for 3 p.m. Saturday at the JACC for John Cowett of Juneau, who died last week in a jogging accident in Minneapolis. He leaves behind his wife, Rebecca Braun, publisher of the Alaska Budget Report, and two young children, Rosie and Alder. Cowett was a research scientist for the Nature Conservancy and spent many years before that with the U.S. Forest Service in Juneau. His research on the Tongass National Forest has been described as cutting edge by scientists in both organizations. Rosemarie Alexander reports.
Mike McClellan hired John Cowett in 1994 as part of a field crew to work on a Forest Service research project at Hannah's Bay on Catherine Island off Peril Strait. Rebecca Braun was part of that crew.
It's amazing how many marriages have sort of sprung out of our different field research projects where people meet, you know, coming in from all sorts of different parts of the country, and they get thrown together out in the wild land of southeast Alaska, and all of a sudden romance blossoms.
McClellan is a research ecologist for the Pacific Northwest Forestry Sciences Laboratory in Juneau. Cowett, with 2 degrees in mathematics and a strong interest in natural resource questions,
is able to bring to the table essentially this toolkit of analytical techniques, but then also with real passion for the resource and how things worked and how we could better manage natural resources.
Research soil scientist Dave DeMore says it wasn't long before Cowett was an analyst for the Tongass Land Management Plan.
Culminating in his recent efforts to model the distribution of tree species across the entire landscape.
Colleagues throughout the Tongass say Cowett's passion for the forest and statistics brought a new way of looking at existing problems. For years, he worked on mapping the Tongass, and as a forest statistician,
he was always about getting more specific about the forest characteristics that we were mapping.
David Elbert is Director of Conservation Science for the Nature Conservancy in Alaska, where Cowett worked for the past 3 years. In the 1990s, when Cowett started with the Forest Service,
the Tongass National Forest had an inventory based on air photo interpretation of forest stands. And at the time, we talked about volume class for forest planning.
Elbert says it was an uncertain and inaccurate measurement.
Rather than looking at volume class, it was really about forest structure. And so John really helped turn our thinking about forests from mapping volume to mapping forest structure in terms of tree size and stand density.
Cowett's size density model was a new way of thinking about forests.
His model has been widely adopted by the Forest Service and the conservation community and others as the way we talk about mapping of forests and description of forests in Southeast.
Sheila Spores is a silviculturist in the Ketchikan Forest Service Office. In 2001, she was part of a group assigned to validate Cowett's model. She had not yet met him and says trying to make statistical integrity work with logistical reality.
That took a lot of mud and sweat and devil's club thorns to get this project done, and I just remember thinking, who is this guy who came up with this project?
Spores and others call Cowett amazingly thorough, methodical, and modest, sometimes exasperatingly so.
It would be hard to wait for him to finish up what he was doing, but he was always waiting until it was complete and it was right before he would call it finished.
Research forest pathologist Paul Hennen first met Cowett in 1995 at the forestry lab. It wasn't long before Cowett joined his yellow cedar research team trying to determine why the valued trees were dying off. It was easy to see the cedar dying on low elevation slopes.
But we've had this continuing challenge of knowing where the live cedar forests are. We can't really see them very well from the air. We can't see them on aerial photographs. So John had the idea to use these extensive networks of plots that the Forest Service has put in through the decades, and he was working very hard to recover those plot data and then put them to use.
At the same time, DeMore says a genetic study is looking at whether some cedar varieties do better than others under certain conditions, all with management application.
Where is it going to persist? So where do we want to protect it and make sure we have that? how can we expand the range or enhance the planting? Well, we do that by planting it in areas that are going to be favorable for its long-term growth. So we're trying to guide where that happens. And this large-scale mapping was going to help us and is going to help us understand what are favorable habitats.
At the Nature Conservancy, COET continued developing a yellow cedar inventory, not only where the trees are dying,
but the overall distribution of those trees, where they're dying and where they're regenerating. It's pretty cutting-edge stuff, and it's useful in better understanding the forest and understanding how the forest will likely respond to changing climate.
COET's colleagues say he was always focused on the end result, improving the knowledge of the Tongass National Forest. In Juneau, I'm Rosemarie Alexander.
This is Katie Hicks reporting for KHNS News. You can listen to KHNS News anytime online at khns.org. Just click on the Listen tab for stories from the last week, or go to Archives for earlier stories.